Our gospel lesson text this morning comes across a wide array of scripture. We get to the section of the book of Joshua where the land that has been conquered is now distributed as inheritance to all God's people. And so that lasts really from chapter 13 through chapter 21. And we're not going to read all of chapter 13 through chapter 21. I'm glad about that. That'd be a long time. But we're going to look at a lot of title headings as we go through here. So be active. I'll tell you where we are as we read through this. And you're going to say, as we do some of it, well, you know, what's that for? But we'll see what that's for as we get to the preaching of God's word. We start with Joshua chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. And I remind you that this is God's word, eternally true. As for all the inhabitants of the mountain regions from Lebanon to Misrephoth-Maim, that is, all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The other half of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites, had received the inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he, the servant of the Lord, had assigned it to them. Now go down to verse 15. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Reuben, clan by clan. Now verse 24. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Gad, clan by clan. Now down to verse 29. This is what Moses had given to the half-tribe of Manasseh, that is, to the half-family of the descendants of Manasseh, clan by clan. And verse 32. This is the inheritance Moses had given when he was in the plains of Moab across the Jordan east of Jericho. Now 14:1. Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritances were assigned by lot to the nine and a half tribes as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the two and a half tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest, for the sons of Joseph had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord commanded Moses. Now look at chapter 14, verse 13. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Chapter 15, verse 1. The allotment for the tribe of Judah, clan by clan, extended down to the territory of Edom, to the desert of Zin in the extreme south. Now chapter 16, verse 1. 16:1. The allotment for Joseph began at the Jordan of Jericho, east of the waters of Jericho, and went up from there through the desert into the hill country of Bethel. Now verse 4. So Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants of Joseph, received their inheritance. This was the territory of Ephraim, clan by clan. Now down to chapter 17, verse 1. This was the allotment for the tribe of Manasseh as Joseph's firstborn, that is, for Machir, Manasseh's firstborn. Machir was the ancestor of the Gileadites, who had received Gilead and Bashan because the Machirites were great soldiers. And verse 3. Now Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters, whose names were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They went to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders, and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with the brothers of their father, according to the Lord's command. Manasseh's share consisted of 10 tracts of land besides Gilead and Bashan, east of the Jordan, because the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons. The land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. Now chapter 18, verse 1. 18, verse 1. The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The country was brought under their control, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. Verse 3. So Joshua said to the Israelites, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Appoint 3 men from each tribe. I will send them out to make a survey of the land and to write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. Then they will return to me. You are to divide the land into 7 parts. Judah is to remain in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph in its territory on the north. After you have written descriptions of the 7 parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God. The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them." Verse 8. As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, "Go and make a survey of the land and write a description of it. Then return to me, and I will cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord." So the men left and went through the land. They wrote its description on a scroll, town by town, in 7 parts, and returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. Joshua then cast lots for them in Shiloh in the presence of the Lord, and there he distributed the land to the Israelites according to their tribal divisions. The lot came up for the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan. Their allotted territory lay between the tribes of Judah and Joseph. Now chapter 19, verse 1. The second lot came out for the tribe of Simeon, clan by clan. Their inheritance lay within the territory of Judah. Now verse 9. The inheritance of the Simeonites was taken from the share of Judah, because Judah's portion was more than they needed. So the Simeonites received their inheritance within the territory of Judah. The third lot came up for Zebulun, clan by clan. The boundary of their inheritance went as far as Sarid. Verse 19:16. These towns and villages were the inheritance of Zebulun, clan by clan. The fourth lot came out for Issachar, clan by clan. Now verse 23. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Issachar, clan by clan. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of Asher, clan by clan. Now verse 31. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Asher, clan by clan. The sixth lot came out for Naphtali, clan by clan. Verse 39. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Naphtali, clan by clan. Verse 40. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of Dan, clan by clan. Verse 48. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Dan, clan by clan. When they had finished dividing the land into all its allotted portions, The Israelites gave Joshua, son of Nun, an inheritance among them, as the Lord had commanded. They gave him the town he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. And he built up the town and settled there. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel assigned by lot at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so they finished dividing the land. Now chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, "The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in, with pasture lands for our livestock." So, as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance. Here ends our reading. The word of the Lord. Thanks indeed. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are grateful that you give us this, your word. And especially as we look in the Old Testament, we're grateful how you, in this physical way, in the history of your people, you show us truths that are eternal and that apply to us today in the church and will apply to us when we die and will apply to us when you come again. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us how this applies to us today, that we might live well and as you intended, so that we know what your will is here on earth for us as we live and move and have our being, and as we live in the church. We pray that you would do this, Jesus, that you would show us your good gospel grace to us, that you would teach us about the inheritance that we have being members of the church, that we might live in this inheritance with great joy and clarity. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Getting an inheritance in life can be a bittersweet thing, and mostly, if we're right in our heart, it's a bitter thing, because getting an inheritance means that somebody who loves us, who's giving us an inheritance, has died. And so there's this kind of weird thing going on for us. And in getting a gift, whether great or small, that this gift is always tinged with this sorrow or sadness, because we miss the giver of this gift who loved us so much that he or she left us whatever it is that's been part of this inheritance. Now, with the Lord, he gives us an inheritance as he's given his people this inheritance. But the great news is that for us, in terms of us being and how we're concerned, there's no sadness for us of an event where somebody has died or that we can't know him and interact with him anymore. And as the Old Testament instructs us about this inheritance we've received, we look to the New Testament and what it tells us about this. And it tells us that two things, in fact, have died for us to receive this inheritance. But these two things that have died do not bring us sorrow or restrict our joy. And these two things that have died are one, we've started to see with the receiving of our inheritance, the death of our own sin nature. The death of our own sin nature. That God is putting that to death by the work of his Spirit. And that's what we see throughout our lives as Christians, that God brings and puts to death the sin nature within us. And then we long during this time until our sin nature will be finally and completely and fully put to death. And we are with Jesus, stripped of our sin nature, fully obtaining our inheritance. But we see that somebody has died, but not forever, and not a way that causes us to be forlorn. Somebody has died for us to receive our inheritance, and this inheritance being the church during our lives, the land that God has given us, so to speak, the place where other believers, other followers of the one true God are. That's what the church is. It's the land, it's the promised land today. We arrive here. We come here not having crossed the Jordan or the Red Sea, but we arrive here through the waters of baptism. This is what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 10. But we have come here through the death of Jesus. We could be members of God's kingdom. We could have the covenant in His blood because He has shed His blood for us. But there's joy in this because it demonstrates, similar to receiving an inheritance from a father or a mother, how much God loves us. He loves us so much that He voluntarily died so that we could have an inheritance of the church in our day today, so we could have the inheritance of heaven when we die and our souls go to be with Him, and so that we can have the inheritance of the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus comes again. And we don't have to be forlorn about Jesus dying, because not only does it demonstrate God's love for us and that Christ died for us, Romans 5:8, but also we are not without Jesus who loves us in this life. Rather, by His Spirit, we commune with Him in prayer and the Lord's Supper and baptism and His Word when He communicates to us and when His Word is preached, and He communicates His truth to us through the preached Word as well. And so we don't have to be forlorn in our inheritance. But even within this inheritance, where we have come in to be in the church, the promised land of today, we all have different lots of land. Sections, giftings, a distribution that has been given to us personally as we have come into this land that we call the church. And so as we go through this passage, 13 through 21 in Joshua, we see that, as my seminary professors joked about, that the New Testament is the answer key for what was already communicated in the Old Testament. That is, it's always God's will for His people as a group to receive this inheritance, the promised land. But within this inheritance, He distributes particular gifts to each group and to various people. And that's what God does when His people come and cross the Jordan River, and this land is conquered through Joshua, our Joshua being Jesus, who's conquered so that we could come in the land. We're given gifts, and we read about that as Larry read for us this morning in 1 Corinthians 13. There has been a distribution of gifts that has gone on when you came into the church, when you came to faith in Him. And so as we think about this, God's gifting to each and every member in the church, we can think back to Joshua here and say, yes, that makes sense to me. My own gifting, what God has given to me to have in the church, is just like this gifting that God did years and years ago, somewhere around 1200 or 1400 BC, when Joshua and the people came into the land. So that's the overview. If you got that, you got it. That's what this sermon is about. But a few specific things about that. First of all, specific thing number one that God says to us here: you, and if you'd like to fill out blanks in an outline, here you go. Don't worry about filling out the blanks if you're a thinker and just got it in your head, that's fine too. God wires us differently. But if you'd like to fill out blanks, here you go. You and all church members. You and all church members have a role in the church. There's not a person who comes into the promised land who doesn't receive a particular inheritance. Even the Levites, who don't get a whole region, get cities for themselves to live in and to have their flocks pasture. And they get the service of the Lord, and the Lord himself is their inheritance. So everybody gets an inheritance, even those daughters who didn't have, you know, a receiver of an inheritance. They get an inheritance too. We'll talk about that in a future week, but they get an inheritance too, because the law of Moses foresaw this. If you go into the land and there's no male heir, then the daughters don't lose their inheritance just because they're not a guy. But everybody gets an inheritance, a particular plot of land, a particular allotment for them. And that's true in the church. When you came into the church, God gave you a particular place, a particular place of service, a gifting which you're to use. So no one in the church is a spectator. Nobody just comes and sits. Now, there are a lot of people who think that they just come and they sit, but they don't participate. They don't contribute to the life of the church. But God says, no, that's not the case. Nobody comes into Israel and doesn't pasture their flocks and doesn't till the land and work out their inheritance to produce fruit to give to the Lord in his temple as an offering of thanks. So you and all church members have a role in the church, and this is spread across chapters 13 through 21. That's where we read through the whole thing. Every tribe, all 12 plus the two split ones, the sons of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim, they all get their inheritance. They all have a role to perform in the promised land, and you all have a role to perform in the promised land of the church. So 1 Corinthians 12:7 and 11 shows us to each one the Spirit distributed gifts. To each one, it says. There is no one in the church who has been born from above. There is no one in the church who has been born by God's Spirit, who has come to believe, or as Paul puts it there in verses 12 and 13, who has been baptized in his Spirit, or who has come to believe in Jesus. There is no one. Paul says all of us have been baptized in his Spirit, and the Spirit has distributed to each one particular gifts. So that's number one there. You and all church members have a role in the church. God has a role for you. Second thing, your role in the church is God-given. Your role in the church is God-given. God has given to you a role in the church. We see this in various places throughout all this text that we look to. Particularly, we see in chapter 18, verses 7 through 10. We see in chapter 21, verse 2, this. 18, 7 through 10, God says, I am directing who gets what. And here's how you're going to know that I am saying for sure that Zebulun gets this area and that Simeon gets this area. You're going to cast lots. God says, I'm sovereign. And so that first lot of the remaining seven tribes, the first one goes to Benjamin. And here's his land. And they do it, the note is, in 18, 7 through 10, in the presence of the Lord at the front of the tabernacle. where the Lord dwells, especially among His people. And so the Lord communicates, I am giving these particular areas of land by my command, where I am, at the gate, at the front gate of the tabernacle. So your role in the church is God-given, and that's what God is showing here to the Israelites in Joshua's day. And to those who lived after Joshua's day, they had recorded for them where their borders were. Now, we skipped all those borders. That would have been long, huh? We skipped all those borders. But there would be no dispute because God Himself had determined who got what areas with what borders. As we saw, if you look in the left side of your bulletin there in our Declaration of the Gospel, Psalm 16, look at verses 5 and 6, which aren't marked for you, but you see the ellipsis there, the three dots, and then the Lord in all caps. David says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. Here's what that means. That's not what you have on your dinner plate. That's what I think of when I hear portion, right? Portion control. Oh, man. Portion, it's the same word as lot. It's land. He is literally speaking of the Lord has assigned him the land he has, the land his family has been given. You have assigned me my portion, my lot, my inheritance, my particular inheritance, and my cup. You have made my lot secure. That is, I don't have to worry about my land being overtaken by foreigners, by Assyrians or Babylonians or Egyptians coming in and taking my lot away, taking my land away. It goes on. The boundary lines, okay, this is Joshua. The boundary lines defined for my lot of land have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. See how this is all about David rejoicing in the lot of land, the plot that God has given him. And who has done it? He says, Lord, you have assigned me my particular inheritance. It was your doing. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't something that I just thought or anything like that. God gave me that, for us in the church, that gifting, that bent, emotionally, skill-wise, and things that I was learning how to do even when I was a non-believer, so that now in the church I can use those gifts, those skills in the church. The Lord was directing this. It was purposeful. So your role in the church is God-given. And then this says this particularly in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Spirit gives to each one, verse 11, just as He wills. The Spirit gives each person His gift or gifts, whether it's administrating, whether it's helping, whether it's serving, whether it's leading, whether it's exhorting, whatever our gift is, whatever our gifts are, the Lord, by His Spirit, specifically gave those gifts to you. They are God-given to you. So therefore, next line for you in your outline, therefore, realize the dignity of your role. God has said to you, you have a role in the church, and I am giving you a specific role, and I'm entrusting you with this role. And if you don't do it, it may not get done. This is your responsibility. I'm giving you this land. Farm it. Bring that wheat into my tabernacle as a gift to me. But you got to farm the land. You can't just sit there. I don't want, you know, dandelion puffs in the temple. I want wheat. And Pat, you take care of those herds, because you need to bring those sheep to worship me. And so we worship the Lord by exercising our gifts. This is a thing of great dignity. When we look at our gifts, whatever they might be, the way we can contribute within the church, this is a thing of great dignity, because God Himself has apportioned it to us, like David says, "You have assigned me my portion and my cup, what I have to offer to you." Third thing, sometimes roles in the church God establishes through the elders. Sometimes roles in the church God establishes through the elders. And there's this emphasis that we saw as we went through this passage, that there's this reflection of Eleazar the priest, okay, the priestly line, and then the main leader, the commander, Joshua son of Nun, and then also the elders of the people, those who were the tribal leaders. And they're the authorities in this, and God gives distribution of the land through these, through this official leadership. And so sometimes, just know that, sometimes there are certain roles in the church that are formal like this. So we see it in this passage in like 1951 is a good place to look. But then in the New Testament, we see there are some formal roles in the church, formal roles like deacons and elders, and that these gifts or these offices are given through officers in the church. So you can look at those other passages there, Acts 6, Titus 1, and 1 Timothy 5. And their roles distributed by God with particular parameters. These things need to be true for an elder. These things need to be true for a deacon. And sometimes there's nothing we can do about that. You know, you may not be the husband of one wife. That's one of the qualifications. And so you sit there, but you don't, as one of a descendant of the tribe of Manasseh, and say, "Oh, I really want that land that Zebulun got." No. You don't look at other people's gifts. We'll talk about that in a minute. You don't look at other people's gifts and the other things that God has assigned to them and say, "I want that instead." But rather realize that God apportions things to us specifically, and that He makes sure through some of these gifts, offices in the church that's done through elders. Now, some of these gifts are informal. Some of these gifts and most of the things Paul speaks of are not ordained office kind of things. They're more informal things, you know, teaching Sunday school, cleaning the church, being an exhorter and an encourager in the church. You won't be ordained for that, but will God use you? Yeah, He'll use you in great ways. Fourth thing to know. So sometimes the roles in the church are through elders. Sometimes they're informal. Fourth thing, be content in the role God has for you. Now, we just spoke about that a second ago. Be content in the role God has for you. Don't envy someone else's land. And don't encroach on His borders. The borders are clearly defined here. So be content with the role God has for you in the church. And we see the borders clearly drawn throughout this passage. If you want to find out how seriously God takes borders, look at what happens when Ahab steals Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings 21. And then we see in 1 Corinthians 12, 11, and 14 through 13, 1, that God has particular gifts that He assigns throughout the church. And if your gift is exhorting, then exhort with all your might. Another parallel passage to look at is Romans 12, verses 3 and forward there, that if your gift is teaching, teach with all your might. If it's giving, give with great liberality and enthusiasm. But stay in your gift. Do what God has gifted you to do, and don't look at another, or 1 Corinthians, don't look at a foot and say, "Oh, I really wish I had that instead. I'm an eye. I'm going to shut for a while." No, the body needs to see. Keep your eyes open and look, because your feet need to know where they're going. Like I didn't this morning at 6 in the morning when my four right toes hit the corner of the bed. Ah, in the dark. I didn't break any toes. So I was glad for that. And I withheld crying. That's just asleep. Did you know I hit the bed? Okay. Woo! But we need eyes to see. And so exercise your gifts and be content with the role God has for you, because He needs you to do that role. He's gifted you to do that role, and you're going to do that role better than somebody who doesn't have those gifts. So, or second line here for you, Therefore, realize that your role, or the land God has given you, is God's perfect place for you in the church. Don't have land in Zebulun because you're a descendant of Zebulun and wish you really had land in Dan or in Ephraim. God has given you that land because it's the perfect place for you to be. God has given you your gifts because it's the those are the perfect gifts for you to have. And you have those gifts, and there are people who don't have those gifts, and they really need you to exercise those gifts. My dad, I think, was too humble about his giftedness. I think he had a lot of gifts that he didn't use in the church, but one of the gifts he had was that he was a giver. He was a giver greatly in his life. He gave his money. He gave his stuff. He worked himself and just so hard because he had a great joy in giving things to people. And he would find out that somebody, like just in secular life, that somebody really liked something. And so he'd get it for them, and he'd be so excited to give this gift to them. And I remember him saying to me, yeah, in the church, I just don't think I'm very gifted, but I can give. But he gave, and he gave with enthusiasm, like Romans said. But you know, that was great. Even though he underestimated his gifts, you know, churches needed that. And you know, we used to be on support as campus ministers, and we needed that. Betsy and I did, as we were gathering support so we could do the ministry we were doing. And thanks be to God that you know, he was exercising his gift. And so know that you've got particular gifts, and God wants you to use those gifts for the building up of the body. So realize that your role is God's perfect place for you in the church. Exercising your gifts, the gifts that you have, is good for you and your soul. You'll enjoy it. It's fun to do things that you're good at. That's why I quit golf. It's not fun to do something you're not good at. 9 years and I'm not good at this yet? That's no fun. So my dad used to say he was my greatest coach all through sports, regardless of sport. He never played soccer. He's my best soccer coach I ever had. He would say, John, it's no fun to be bad out there. If you're going to play, get good at it. Then it's fun. It's fun when you shoot and it goes in, isn't it? I say, yeah, it is. But God has this desire for us that we enjoy the contribution we make to the church. And he's gifted us to do it. Lastly, about roles in the church, fulfill the role God gives you. Fulfill the role God gives you. So we look there at 1 Corinthians 12:7, 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 21, and 13:1. In other words, work your inheritance. Work your inheritance. Work the land. Work the land that's been assigned to you, so that you can, back in Joshua's day, feed your family, feed the poor who are around you, and first and foremost, so that you have something to bring to God as an offering to him. You can bring your first fruits to him and say, thank you, God. You caused the rain to come. You caused the sunshine to shine. And you caused, I don't know how this happens, but seeds, you put them in the ground, sunshine and rain, and they grow. How in the world does that happen? But you caused it to happen. So here's the first 10%. Here's the first part of my harvest. And that's part of why we work the land. We work the gift God has given us so we have something to offer to him and so we have something to offer to the people around us. And so as we work our gifts in the church, it's first of all an offering to the Lord. God, you're worthy. You've given me this gift and I exercise this gift to your glory. But also we exercise this gift for the good of the people who are around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family. But also for their good. If you have the gift of helping and you help in the church is built up. And that's loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, so a couple of things to realize. A, you with your abilities are needed in the church. There is nobody sitting here, a believer in Christ, who is not needed in this church. And if you're 5 years from now in another town and another church, that church will need you and your gifts as well. God has sovereignly distributed those gifts to you because he knew where you would be when and that that church would need your gifts. So think about, what gifts do I have? What strengths do I have? And how can I offer them to the church because they're needed? And this is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21. The foot needs the eyes. The eyes need the ears. Okay? I can't see what's going to hit me from behind unless my ears hear it. Then I go, what's going on? Okay, so you're needed. Your gifts are needed. And then B, why does God want you to fulfill the role God that he gives you? Why does he want you using your gifts? B, for the common good, or in other words, for the building up of the church. For the building up of the church. And 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says that the Spirit of God has given you your gifts for the common good. Not even so you can exercise your gifts just for your own good, but for everybody else and for their sake, that the church is built up, and so that, and Paul brings it to the fore when he concludes his discussion of gifts in chapter 13. That's why we read chapter 13, 1. Why do we do this? Because we love our brothers. The gifts aren't the focus. Using our gifts because we love our brothers, that's the focus. How do I love my brothers? How do I build up the church? That's the focus. So I don't care if I can speak with the tongues of men and angels. I don't care if I can teach this. I don't care if I can administer like nobody else can. Those gifts are only service so that I can love my brothers well. So farm your fields. Make the land abundant. Build up the kingdom, the body of Christ, the church, by exercising your gifts in this, the land that God has given you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that none of us are useless. Some of us may be sitting here this morning thinking, what can I offer? I kind of am useless. I don't know that I'm strong in doing anything. But that's not what your word declares. So help us to believe your word. That you, when you baptized us in your Spirit, when you gave us eyes to see and ears to hear your gospel, all of us, you've also distributed by your Spirit gifts just as you will, just as you wanted, and as you've obviously directed for the common good, for the building up of your body, the church. Cause us to see the great honor this is, and that the role that you give us is exactly what will give us joy as we perform this role. It's the perfect place you want us to be, the perfect lot. Indeed, Lord, cause us in faith and then in the reality of our experience to declare to you, the boundary lines of my gifts have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. We pray, Jesus, encourage each person here by this your strong, true word. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.